I want you to look in your Bible. Today is, I don't even remember the date. Today is the 12th. Today is February the 12th, 2023. And this is our second lesson in this new series of lessons from the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The lesson series is entitled Messiah, the World's Only Hope. And you know what? Today our world needs hope. It needs something today. Today's lesson is from Isaiah chapter number 6. And it is entitled, The Messenger for the Messiah. The Messenger for the Messiah. God uses different people in different ways. But He prepares each one for the job that He has for them. He prepares them. Put a little article in the bulletin this week, and I wanted to let you know about that. You know, there is a passage of Scripture that I love from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And the Bible there talks about when, you know, when we get kind of distracted by things around us, we are tempted to get our eyes off the Lord. And I remember this verse because it always puts me back on focus. And the writer of the book of Hebrews there, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in verse 3, he said this. He said, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If we're not careful, we will let the things of this world get us off track, get our mind, our hearts off of focus of the Lord. And we'll get distracted. We'll get to the point that we get wearied in our hearts and in our minds. We faint in our minds and we get off of God. And you know, I know Pastor was just kidding about it Wednesday. He was talking to me. He said, he was talking to me about Job. And he said, man, have you been tithing lately? I said, man, I've been giving more. I don't know what God's got. And I told him, I said, man, I'm not worthy to be called a Job. Job was a righteous man. He loved God. But you know what? God had a purpose in all those things. And the purpose, whether Job ever knew it or not, was simply this. It was to use Job's faithfulness to God and his love for the Lord to shut the accuser's mouth up. The devil wants to accuse everybody of everything. He is the great accuser. You know that. And he wants to accuse us of all the things wrong that we always do. If you ever need to find out anything that somebody does wrong, look at yourself. Okay? I look at myself. And man, I can find all kinds of wrong in my heart and my life. But you know what? The devil seems to forget that all those things have been covered by the blood. Amen? And when the devil reminds me of my past, I just go back and remind him of his future. And he's got a bleak future, folks. Believe me. He's not going to be well at all. But you know, the thing about it was, I got to thinking about it, and I can't remember now who it was I was talking to. Somebody was in my office, maybe Tuesday. I think it was when I was working on the lesson. I came in from the hospital. I was coming down to pick up Danny. Danny wasn't here. Danny was at home sick. And I came in just to get some things done here. And I just reached my phone and I said, hey, Google, does God really love me? You know, does God really love me? I just didn't know what Google would say. I just wanted to see what the crazy phone would say. You know, they got these things programmed for all kinds of things today. And when I asked that thing, I said, hey, Google, how much does God love me? And I know that God loves me. I know that. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind. God loves me. But when I did that, Google came up and she spoke. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And it printed it up on the screen at the same time. And this is what it said. It said, God loves you as you are, but he also loves you enough to not let you stay how you are. He wants to see you grow and change for the better. He sent Jesus to die for your sins so this would be possible. I quickly took a screenshot of that and I saved it. And I said, bless God, I think Google got saved. Amen. But, man, I'm telling you, God used a stupid cell phone to remind me of some things I already knew. Good night. I already knew that. And yet God used artificial intelligence to just remind me of his great love for us. Folks, listen, you cannot escape the love of God. God has a plan. And you know what? I don't know why things happen. We don't know why. But I thank God that he's got a plan. Now, God had a plan for this man named Isaiah. And in the story that we read last week about it, I want to remind you, there are some things that we're going to read today that God is wanting to find out. Are we ready to be used of him as his messengers? Let me remind you something today. If you are born again and you know Christ as your Savior, whether you like it or not, you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador. You need to remember, you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you're with, you are God's representative. And folks, listen to me today. That is a great blessing. That is a privilege. That is a responsibility that we take very lightly so often. The world has the idea that we can live any way we want to live and still call ourselves a Christian. That would be like me saying, I can live any way I want to live, act any way I want to act, and still be called a good husband by not doing what I ought to be doing. Listen, I want to be found faithful to the one who has saved me. And the Bible talks about here, as we look at this lesson today, I want you to see and understand that God is looking for some people today, even as he was in Isaiah's day, but he's looking for some people today who will love him enough to simply volunteer. They will simply volunteer to serve him wherever he chooses to send them, wherever he asks them to go, whatever he plans for them to do. And when he calls out and he asks that ever-seeking question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Our duty, our responsibility is to be ready to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And that's what we want to look at today. The messenger that God uses, the messenger for Messiah. Israel had been in a mess. They had rebelled against God. They had been stinking stubborn. They had been stiff-necked, the Bible said, rebellious toward God. They rejected God's will for their lives. And yet God wanted them to know just how much he loved them and how much he cared for them. And when God called Isaiah to be his messenger for the coming Messiah, Isaiah accepted that responsibility of being the one that God could use to both rebuke and to encourage the people of God in the ways that they needed to be going, the directions they needed to go. Isaiah knew that his job would not be an easy one. Listen, serving God is not always easy. But let me tell you something. It's worth it. It's worth it to know the Lord. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. God loved them. He wanted them to turn unto him. And he wants us to do the exact same thing today. But we got to be willing to love him enough to trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. As we saw last week, God told them through the lips of Isaiah. If you look back at Isaiah chapter 1 just a moment. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. God had Isaiah to tell them, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And then he said in verse 18, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God gave them a choice. Choose to do right or choose to do wrong. Let me remind you today, only two choices on the shelf. Serving God or serving self. That's the way it is. And these people had chosen to serve themselves, to do whatever their wicked hearts, their lustful hearts desired to do. They rejected God. They rejected His Word. And now they were about to receive the consequences for doing wrong. Now as we come to chapter number 6 in the book of Isaiah, we're going to see how Isaiah's calling was not just a simple one-time event. Listen to me, folks. God doesn't save you to just get you to serve Him one time. God saved you for how long? For all eternity. And until He either calls us home or takes us out of here, we're to be His servant. We're to be faithful unto Him. We're to love Him and serve Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. It's a lifelong event. But I want you to look here in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I want you to see Isaiah's confrontation with God. And look at what it said. Isaiah writes these words, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, those are angels. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. Twain means two. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Man, it was filled with the glory of God. And you know, in the year that this great and godly king died, Uzziah was a good king. Isaiah's vision was drawn away from man so that he might better focus on God. You know, we get the idea that if man doesn't intervene, then we're in trouble. Listen, the problem is man intervened in the Garden of Eden, and we've been in trouble ever since then. And folks, listen, man is not the answer. God is the answer today. And our world needs to see that. But they can only see that through faithful messengers. And so now God revealed unto Isaiah the very fact of His glory and of His power, of His majesty. And He set Isaiah in a predicament so that he could see that it was not the king that was going to take care of Israel, but it was the God of Israel that was going to take care of them. And the Bible said, in that year when Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And he saw the Lord how? He saw Him seated upon His throne in heaven. Could you imagine that? I don't know what God's throne looks like, but just imagining in my mind, it's got to be beyond all splendor. But Isaiah saw God seated upon his throne. He saw the Lord, even as he truly is, high and lifted up above all other principalities and powers and all other thrones upon this earth, even above King Uzziah's. Hey, Isaiah saw how all the angels in heaven worshiped and honored the Lord God and cried out for all to hear, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God, and holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." My mind cannot fathom that. I can't understand it. But in order for Isaiah to be the messenger that God wanted him to be among this wicked and sinful people, Isaiah had to get his eyes off of man and get his eyes and his heart focused upon God. Folks, that's why we're seeing all these things going on around us today. It's to get our focus off of God. It's to get our focus off of the things of God, the things that matter for all eternity with God. The devil wants to get us distracted so that we don't do what we're supposed to do for God. And our duty, our responsibility as born-again believers in this world is to be a light in a dark and sinful world. We're to be the light that puts folks in tune with God. We have to be willing to do that. So now, after God's got his attention, Isaiah's heart changes. And I want you to see Isaiah's confession of sin in verse 5. Isaiah, after seeing all these things and hearing all these things, he wrote these words. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I want you to see here today Isaiah's recognition of his own personal unholiness before God. Listen to me, folks. Until you and I see ourselves as God sees us, we will never be able to be used of God the way that God wants to use us. That word Christian, everybody today is a Christian. I got an email the other day. I preach at the rest home, one of the nursing homes here locally, and they sent me a schedule for when I'm preaching each month. And we want that, but they had a ministerium meeting with all the local pastors, okay? And they all came together in their liberal ways and decided they're going to have a blood drive at a church locally here that's not really a church. They deny the precious blood of the Lord Jesus as saving from sin. And everybody was all excited about going. I thought, man, I'm not going to that mess. Listen, that's not for me. I want you to understand something. I want folks to know that I'm a child of God, born again, washed in the blood, and on my way to heaven. And I don't have time for this other foolishness stuff. I'm not going to do this. And Isaiah, when he saw God for who he was, he saw himself as he truly is, lost and undone. Man, he was trusting God. He wanted to trust God, but when he got his eyes set on God instead of self, it made a difference in his life. And the Bible said, in the light of God's divine glory and majesty, Isaiah saw himself as he was. He was in great distress. He said, "Woe is me." He was lost and undone in God's sight, a man of unclean and spiritually impure lips. He was undone. And God knew that, but Isaiah had to know that. And so when Isaiah saw himself unworthy to be anything used of God, we come down to verse 5, where Isaiah's recognition of God's holiness is seen. And look what he said in verse 5. He said, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When I read that passage, I thought, Lord, man, when is the last time that I saw you through your word as I'm reading the word of God, not just to get a little certificate, not just to say I've done this or done that, but I've read it to see with my mind's eye, with my heart's eyes of faith, just who God really is and what he really is. And Isaiah saw him as the King of kings, the Lord of hosts. And now look at verse 6 and 7. When Isaiah saw God as he really was, we see Isaiah's cleansing from sin. Look what God did for Isaiah. I remember before I got saved, man, I was scared of dying and going to hell. I knew I wasn't going to go to heaven because I was lost in my sin, but I didn't know what to do. There was nothing that I could do for myself to cleanse myself. There was nothing I could do to save myself from the wages of sin, which was death, eternal separation from God. But God stepped in. Amen? Do you remember the day that you got saved? When God stepped in and God took away your sin, God purged your heart, God cleansed you of your iniquity and said, "You're now my child," and he birthed you into his family. Listen to what happened with Isaiah, verses 6 and 7. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." You see, God did for Isaiah what Isaiah could not do for himself. And Isaiah had to come to the realization, number one, that he was a sinner. He was undeserving of being used of God, being even a part of God's family whatsoever. And then God did what only God could do. Let me remind you something today. I have folks that come to me and they always want to ask, "Where did you go to school?" And I say, "Well, what does that matter? What does that matter?" Because I've seen a lot of schools today that used to be good and they are no longer good. And I'm quite ashamed of the ways that they've changed. Listen, I want to be a student of the Word of God. Amen. I want to continue to get my degree through Him. I want to learn not to just have a head full of knowledge and a heart that's empty, but I want to have this book so saturate my heart that I keep a burden for lost souls. Last night I came in, or yesterday, I was here in and out all day, trying to get ready for today and come back and forth and take care of things with my wife and other things. And I saw my phone blinking. Now, I don't know when the message came in. It came in sometime this week. And it was a lady that called and she said, "The doctors have told my son that he's got cancer and he's not got very long to live. Would you please come and talk to him and tell him about Jesus?" And so I tried calling her and couldn't get through on her phone. So I called Brother Buck. I think Brother Buck was at his house. And I called him and asked him, I said, "Listen, I know this is quick, but I said, could you just go with me? I don't want to go to this lady's house by myself. Could you just go with me so we could talk to her son?" We got there. And I had a burden on my heart. I thought, well, I'll wait till next Thursday or something like that. And I thought, I can't do that. What if he dies before then? His blood's on my hands. And so Brother Buck said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And we met and we went down there, drove all the way down to his house, got down there. He answered the door. And his mother was upstairs and we came in and tried to talk to him. And he went down to his room and said, "I don't feel good. I don't want to talk." We went back down and tried to knock on the door and ask him, say, "Please, will you let us come in and just talk to you? We'll stay right here. We'll just talk to you about the Lord Jesus." Brother Buck said, "Man, I'll go down there." He had his dog in the room. I said, "Well, You know, I'm thinking, okay, Buck can take care of the dog. I'll talk to him about Jesus. You know. Buck had that favorite piece of white meat in his leg that dog wanted, okay? But he didn't even want to do that. He wouldn't let us do it. So I gave him one of the little gospel booklets that we printed up. It's got the message of the gospel spelled out in it. Just like somebody's talking to you. Just ask him to read it. I gave him a card, gave him a gospel tract, and asked him to read it. But he turned it away. Turned it away. The man's dying. And he's turned it away. Turned it away. Man, it just broke my heart. Broke Brother Buck's heart. And you know what? I thought, man, when God saved me, he put in my heart a burden to let other people know about what God could do for them. And God was doing the same thing here with Isaiah. He was cleansing him of that sin. He took away his iniquity. He purged him of his sin. Not that it didn't make him sinless, okay? When we get saved, we're not made sinless. We are birthed into the family of God. We're made to be his child. We're his child forever when we're born into God's family. By faith, we're saved. And Isaiah, when God touched him and cleansed him and purged him of his sin, he put within his heart a burden for his people. And we see here in verse 8, Isaiah is calling now by God to go and do the job that God needed him to do. What was that job? Look at it, verse number 8. Isaiah said, "Now also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" Now I want you to take note here just a minute. It was not until Isaiah first came to understand who God was in his life and who he was in the sight of God. And it was not until how he recognized the fact that he was lost and undone and unworthy of doing anything of God, and God took Isaiah and cleansed him of his sin, and now Isaiah calls him to do the job that he has for him to do. I never will forget, I was reading the Word of God in the book of Ephesians after I'd been saved almost a year. And God brought my heart, my eyes upon this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, where Paul wrote these words. He said, "For unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And I said, "Not me. I'm not going to be preaching the Word of God. I've got my plans. Man, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And God said, "No, you're not." And God, the sweet Holy Spirit of God, spoke to my heart. And for nearly a year, God, he convicted me because I knew he was calling me to do the job that he wanted me to do. I never will forget the calling. But after it all happened, after the sweet Holy Spirit had convicted me of my sin, after God had saved my soul, he called me to do a job for him, and I could not escape that calling. And I thank him for that every day. And you know what, folks? God is still looking for people today who will be willing to hear his call in their life. You say, but I'm an adult now. Isaiah was an adult. I don't know how old Isaiah was, but he was an adult. And he knew that God's calling was upon his life. Listen to me. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. Think about it. 75. God can use anybody if they're willing to do it. So I want you to notice now in this verse, Isaiah's commitment to service. He's heard God's calling in his life. Now I want you to see Isaiah's commitment. After seeing all that God is, and after recognizing what God had done for him, Isaiah records right here in this verse number 8, not only his calling, God's calling unto him, but now Isaiah records his own response to that calling. Look what the Bible verse says. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Send me. Notice here, Isaiah's response was immediate. There was no delay. He didn't delay. His heart was yearning to do something good for God. Notice that Isaiah's response was immeasurable, for he gave himself wholly unto the Lord. He didn't give him a part. Listen, I don't go to my wife and tell her, honey, I love you with all my feet. Okay? She'd look at me and say, well, you little stinker. You know. I don't look at her and say, baby, I love you with all my brains. Because she'd look at me, she'd say, well, you know, it is the little things that count. Okay? But I tell her, honey, I love you with all of my what? My heart. I love you with all of my heart. And Isaiah gave himself to her, to God. God called him. And Isaiah said, God, I want you to have all of me. All of me. His calling, his response was immediate. It was immeasurable. And it was impartial. You say, Brother Ray, how'd you get all those words like that start with I am? I pulled out my dictionary. I just started going through the words. And I said, you know what? Isaiah was impartial. What does that mean? It didn't matter where God called him to go. It didn't matter what God wanted him to do. He said, God, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. Folks, that's what you and I need to be willing to do today. We need to be immediate in our responses to God. We need to give ourselves immeasurably unto Him. And we need to give ourselves impartially unto Him. Listen, Isaiah did not say, well, Lord, you know, when do you want me to go? Can I go on vacation for a couple weeks before I do this? Or Lord, how long am I going to be gone? You know, because I got other things that are more important than serving you all the time. He didn't say that. Isaiah didn't come back and say, well, Lord, If this place that you want me to go, it has sunshine and the weather is nice and it's by a nice cool beach and the palm trees will give me a breeze, Lord, that's where I'd like to go. He didn't say that. He just said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll do it. This was the type of messenger that God was looking for then, and this is the type of messenger God is looking for still today. Amen? Still today. But the question is, what are we going to be willing to do? Isaiah was willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. But look at this in verses 9 through 10. We don't just see his commitment, but we see his commission. And he said, this is God talking to Isaiah. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. And make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. You know what God was saying? God was predicting the response of the people that Isaiah was going to be preaching to. You know what? There are a lot of people that we go and witness to each and every week that will not hear a word we have to say. They don't want to hear it. Like the man last night. He's dying. He's on his way to a devil's hell and didn't want to take time to hear the message of the gospel. God was predicting to Isaiah, you're going to meet a lot of people that don't want to hear what you got to say. And these were people that were supposedly God's own chosen people. And they had rejected God for so long, they did not want to hear. But it would not change the message, and it was not to change the ministry of the man of God. You know what? I am to preach the Word of God whether anybody listens or not. I got discouraged after COVID struck because we didn't have a lot of folks coming in Sunday school. And I understand that. And you know what? Somebody came and said, where are all the people at? Where are all the people? Why don't they love the Lord like they used to? And some of these folks who were complaining about it, they only come on Sunday morning. They don't come on Sunday night. Don't come on Wednesday night. Don't come for anything. And I thought, you know what, Lord? I'm not listening to that. I'm going to preach to the ones that do come. And I'm going to fill their hearts with the Word of God. And I'm going to do everything within my power to encourage them and strengthen them. And pray that God will take what my feeble lips can speak unto them and say to them and encourage them to be found faithful. And you know what? God has blessed. You have seen how God has blessed our class, bringing it back to where it used to be. And how God has blessed. Now, I know we've got still a lot of people sick. I know that. But you know what? God has blessed us. He sent in new people. He sent in folks from everywhere just to hear the Word of God. And the message will not change. The messenger does not need to change. Why? Because God's Word does not change. God's love for His people did not change. He was to be persistent. And look at it, verses 11 and 12. Then said I, Isaiah is saying to God, Lord, how long? How long am I supposed to keep on doing this even though they won't listen? How long am I supposed to keep going back? I've had folks come back and say, well, how long do I need to pray for this person? They won't listen. They won't get saved. How long do I keep doing this? Well, God said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without a man and the land be utterly desolate and the Lord have removed men from afar. Far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. You know what he said? You keep on doing it until I say stop. Folks, we need to continue to be found faithful in the Word of God, in our ministry for the Lord, until the Lord either calls us home by way of death or by way of aliens come and get us, as the world thinks. When the Lord comes back and takes us home, you know what? I want to be found faithful, persistent for the Lord. And he said here in verse 13, he said there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a remnant left. A majority of the people are going to turn you away, Isaiah. But there will be a remnant that will listen. He said, but yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a till tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. It would have been easy for Isaiah to grow discouraged and become weary in the ministry. It would have been easy for that. So God encourages him, and Isaiah's focus had to remain upon obeying the Lord and doing what God had called him to do. Though some may refer to this till tree, okay? I was studying this thing, and some folks referred to it as a lime tree or a linden tree. I don't know if that's what it was like. But this tree that he spoke of here, this till tree, and as an oak, was to be a tree that would be one that is seldom seen in a clump or a grove of trees. It was to stand out on its own. Never in a forest, but it would stand isolated and weird-like in some bare ravine or on a hillside where nothing else would tower above it except the low brushwood. And God's people, folks, listen to me, we are to stand out away from the world. We're to be unique individuals. We're to be unique. We're to be different than the world. And what he's saying here was when that tree falls, like an oak tree or like this till tree, the roots would still bring forth buds shooting out from the ground. Listen, I want to teach you folks so that one day when I'm off the scene, when I'm dead and gone, there'll be others that said, you know what, I remember what that preacher said, and I'm going to continue to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we be gone, there comes up some roots around it. You know, Isaiah would later write in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Although the larger group of people in Isaiah's day would reject the Lord, they'd turn away from God, there would still be a small remnant that would be found faithful and true. They would go back and rebuild Jerusalem. They would stay faithful to the Word of God. I want to be a part of that small remnant in this world. Amen? Listen, you and I can be part of that as messengers for Messiah. He's coming back again, folks. He is coming again. Let me ask you this, and I ask you this, what will it take in our lives to get us to set our eyes upon the Lord so that we will determine to serve Him no matter what? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Let's ask God to take His Word, saturate our hearts, and love Him enough to serve Him with all of our hearts today. Amen? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I'm sorry for taking so long on this lesson today. Good grief. There's so much here. Lord, I want Your people to grow for You. I want them to be grounded in the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, today that You'll speak to us and help us to be the messengers that You would have us to be. And Lord, if there be someone today in this room that's lost or listening to the sound of my voice through the internet that's lost and they don't know You as their own personal Savior, God, please help them today to come to see their need of a Savior and be willing to call upon You and to ask You to save them before it's eternally too late. Bless our class. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach the Word of God. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love You today. Thank You for being in Sunday school.